to each of you. It's good to be here again this morning. Thank you, Dad, for those thoughts. That was it's a sobering thing to think about, and we need, and it very much blessed me. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you so much for all you've done. We thank you for your love and your care for us. In the many ways you bless our lives. Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. And we ask that you would just be with me as I share what you've laid on my heart. We thank you, Father, and pray this all in your name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to start by sharing out a psalm. Psalm 17. That's where my thoughts went. Psalm 17, not 117, just Psalm 17. I'll read it and then we'll go over the verses in it. Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the words of the lips I have By the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. Them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me in as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed me in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life. And whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So I'm just going to go over this a verse that are two at a time here. Starting with verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. That word feigned means false, guile, or treachery. I want us to think about it as we come to God, if our lips are not truthful. The psalmist is saying to God that the lips that are praying this prayer are not lying lips. That's very important for us to be able to say when we are coming to God, is if our heart is pure and our lips are not lying lips. Verse 2 and 3 go on with the thought, but even a little deeper. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and thou shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Here he is saying, you came even when I was not expecting it, and found me pure. Not just in the words that are coming out of my mouth, but also the thoughts and intents of my heart. And that is very important, that it's not just, a Christian life is not just Sunday morning or when we're nowhere around people who are going to be watching. But it's very important that our Christian life is a life that is lived all the time. Verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Here he is saying, you told me not to go the wrong way, and that was enough. I didn't go that way. He says here, concerning the works of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. And he says, I think he's saying here, you said to not follow or not to go that way, and that was enough. Sometimes it seems that in our lives, we need a few roadblocks. God has to try a little harder than just telling us clear and decisively not to go do a certain thing. And sometimes it seems like we run into a few roadblocks before God gets our attention. And I think it's very important that we listen to what God is saying to us, reading His Word, and seeing what it says and obeying it. Verse 5 and 6. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. What I want us to think about in these verses is the picture of humility that the author is using. I think what we often miss when we cry out to God is humility. We must be broken before God. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." And if we look at this, there's deep humility in this prayer, and these two couple verses really bring that out. Another thing that stood out to me in these verses is the trust that is in God as he prays. It's not just a prayer, but it's a deep trust in God. That God is here, and He's conscious I think it's very important that as we pray, we are conscious that God is listening to us right now. It's not a delayed message. It's not anything. But God is listening right now to what we are speaking. And He sees our heart. And He knows what's in our heart. Verse 7 and 8. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest. By thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee. From those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye, of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. The thing that stands out to me in these verses is God's protection. His keeping power amazes me. There's been many times in my life I've been in situations where it would have been very easily possible that I've got killed or something would have went very bad. And yet God has kept me. And if we think of the great God of heaven who spoke the worlds into existence, and he is using as much energy to keep us as we use to keep our eye from harm, in proportion, we have a lot to be thankful for. God is keeping us. And that keeping is not just physical, it's also spiritual. Because things happen and we know that that people die, but that's not just what he's talking about here in these verses. He's talking about a spiritual keeping, a keeping. He'll never let us go. He'll never push us aside. If that happens, if we are away from God, it is because we walked away from God. And that's very important for us to. It's not God's fault if we find ourselves distanced from Him. On the same line there, let's read Matthew 6, verses 27-31. And this is more on the physical side, maybe, on these verses here. But they just blessed me to think about. Matthew 6, verses 27-31. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And that is, and we could go keep on reading there, but God will take care of us physically as well, and we don't have to worry and fret about our physical needs. God wants us to trust Him. Verses 9 and 10. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. And these verses change the tone a little bit. It shows us a little bit what God is protecting us from sometimes. In verses 11 and 12, or 13. We'll get more into that. But the end of verse 10 caught my attention. With their mouth they speak proudly. This is something that God hates. And I think we can easily identify an enemy of our soul by the amount of, or by the pride that is there, or comes with it. Pride is being anti-God. And because God hates pride. I've thought of Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Verses 11 and 12. They have compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. In these verses, we see what the enemy of your soul is after. He's after our soul. I'm getting mixed up here a little bit. Sorry. He wants to get us bad, and he wants to trip us in any way. And like it says there in verse 12, like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and a young lion lurking in secret places. And I picture a very subtle, secret attempt to grab us. And we should be aware of that. Verse 13 and 14. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, in whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Here is a prayer of protection, not only physically, but also spiritually. This is very important as we look around us. There's so many things wanting to slow us down, to hinder our walk with God. We see and hear regularly of men who were once highly respected for their faithfulness, slowly losing out. And then last week, Steve Loniger's message really blessed me. It was a real blessing to me. And we cannot be halfway in the war. And as we think of the fight for our souls, it's very important that we are committed and are watching. There's a phrase in verse 14 that caught my attention. O Lord, it says, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. Sometimes it can be hard for us to accept that God would let something happen or would let men of this world seemingly have it so easy. But let's remember, their portion is this life. Ours is coming. We have our inheritance coming. And the last verse talks about this. Verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. This verse is one of my favorites. The thought of standing before God and all is well with my soul. The thought of being in God's likeness in his presence is thrilling. I know we are in God's presence every day. But the thought of being where there's nothing to distract us, no cares, nothing, but being in his likeness and beholding his face is a truly amazing thought. And Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. So that is all I have. Thank you.